You are now listening to Conversations with Congressman King. Discussion on issues that impact your life with your representative from Iowa's 5th District.
Welcome to Conversations with Congressman King. And we're here back after the election and back after also the Christmas season, the New Year's season, and we're on the air in 2007 with a big agenda ahead of us and a difficult challenge ahead of us here in the new 110th Congress. We're going to try to bring you a program every week that informs you more about issues that are going on either here in Washington or back in the district, the 5th Congressional District of Iowa, the western third of the state, the 32 counties that represent the 5th District, and that I have the profound honor and responsibility to represent. And today we have with us a very, very interesting guest with a unique story, someone who is now our new friend and neighbor. We have with us Wietse Albers. And he is a Dutch-Canadian dairy farmer who has moved into the Premgar area to set up his dairy operation. And, boy, if there's anything we like in Iowa, it's farming, and we like livestock, and we like legal immigrants who willingly come into the United States and follow the laws. And it's not always easy, but, I want to welcome you aboard and introduce you to the listeners out there. We'd say welcome on to Conversations with Congressman King.
Thank you very much.
And I do appreciate you being there, and I understand Belinda's at your side, and you have a couple of children that are also new Americans, Joanna and Darren, I believe, 9 and 7 years old.
That's correct, yeah.
And so could you, let's just go back a little bit, and I don't know some of the background on you, but can you tell me about how first you came to be a Canadian, and then we can talk about how you came to be an American?
I came to Canada when I was first 18 years old and came back after I finished college, so being 20 years old. Worked in Canada as a herdsman for 5 years. Married a fantastic girl and married her in 1995. And we started dairy farming at that time. We farmed there till 2005 and decided it was time for us to relocate to a different system of marketing. In Canada, we build up a herd of cows, approximately 100 cows milking, as well as a cow-calf herd and a very small feedlot, all of our own cattle. And we sold that and moved to here, Premgar, Iowa.
And you were located in Alberta?
Yes, correct.
And where in Alberta? Pardon me?
Just west of the Rockies.
West of the Rockies. What were the nearest town?
East of the Rockies. We lived close to Lacombe.
Okay, now there's an area up there near just west of Calgary. What is the vacation area up in there in the mountains that's so beautiful? What do they call it?
That would be Banff.
Yes, Banff. Where are you from Banff?
We would be about 3 hours northeast.
And a little bit colder, a little longer winters up there?
A little longer. The temperature-wise, a little colder, too, but we got a lot more wind and humidity here, so I've never been this cold in my life, I say.
I didn't expect to hear that from you, Wietse. The country up in there in Alberta that you've come from, and from my perspective, is just beautiful. And when I meet the people, I find out that Alberta has a very much similar political climate. A lot of good, solid, conservative, Republican-type people up in the Alberta area. Did you find that, too, and do you feel at home when you step into the environment in Northwest Iowa?
Yes, we feel very much at home. Back, like you said, in Alberta, we were very conservative. I think from all, don't quote me on this exactly, but I think it was 98% conservative. And
we can work on those other 2%.
Well, they're hard to switch over sometimes, but it's freedom of speech there, too. And we just felt at home there, and we still feel at home here. Same kind of people we deal with when we talk to them, same kind of answers when we ask questions.
Yeah, that's the same sense that I've had in my travels up into that area, and I've not been as far north there in Alberta as you come from. But, boy, I really felt a strong affinity to especially the ag people, the cattlemen up there, the producers in that part of Alberta. And it is just a good, warm feeling, good thinkers, hard workers. And you come down here and you're colder than you've ever been in your life. Now, that's a shocking thing to learn.
Yes.
So you made a decision to come down here and relocate and a little bit different marketing. Could you tell us about, first, the operation that you have now, what that looks like? Did you move your stock down with you? Or how did you set up your operation around Premgar?
Well, we were not able to move our livestock with us due to the BSE case that was diagnosed there a couple of years ago, and that was the time we got rid of our cow-calf herd as well. Then we came here fresh, didn't take much along from Canada, started at, on 200 acres of bare land, built a new facility and a new home.
Well, that's a fresh way to start, and, you know, you had it figured out. We do have cows we can sell you down here. No need to truck them down, was there? You're listening to Conversations with Congressman King, and this is Congressman Steve King here with Wietse Albers, who is a Dutch dairy farmer that came down from Canada and set up a new operation around the Primgar area, a couple hundred acres in, a couple hundred cows, you said, and your operation going on there and build a new facility there. What have you learned since you've gotten here? Is it what you thought it was going to be, or are you going to have to adjust your operation, and is it, what's your sense of how it's working?
It's working good so far. We're in the startup phase, so I can't say too much about it. Currently, we're milking 250 cows three times a day. In Canada, we milk approximately 100 cows twice a day. It's quite different, starting at this level. It's more difficult than I thought to run an operation that really never shuts down. We're aiming to milk 400 cows by summer, and I think it's more challenging to deal with the help, even though it goes good. It's a different kind of feeling. You can walk in at any time of the day in your operation, and the milk machine is running, and there's people working. And that's something we've really never experienced before.
That operation goes on without your hand being on everything, and that means that you have some help there?
Yes, we've currently employ three different people, total to approximately 160 hours a week.
Well, that's a full week for each one of them, then, by at least by city standards. What made you choose Iowa? How did you identify coming down into northwest Iowa from Alberta?
Well, we were probably already in the planning stage for approximately about a year before our eyes got focused on Iowa. We toured the south first. We liked the idea of a little warmer climate, but we were very focused on the Christian community. Christian school and church was primary reason for moving further north. Then as well, we were looking for an agriculture area that was very friendly to livestock and a large ability to buy feed and also to work along with neighbors to for them, again, to have a manure to their benefit. And then the third reason was our EB-5 program that we have here, which really would make us legal immigrants with a green card. So our kids, as well as us, never have to worry about the future and always can stay living in the U.S.
And how difficult was it to be able to get your paperwork in order and come to the United States legally?
Well, it was very difficult, I would say, and as well very time-consuming. It took, I think, over a year to get all the paperwork in place, and it is just very difficult in the U.S. to be a legal immigrant.
I have occasionally reached out to try to lend a hand and with these kind of endeavors, and I've had the immigration services tell me to advise one particular young man, I recall, whose father had businesses in the United States and he wanted to come down and legally work here. Their advice to him was, marry an American. You didn't have that option because you have a wonderful wife at your side. Wait, so how did you get through this hoop?
Atlantic LLC has assisted us in the program. They work together with Iowa State University. They have a program set up that if we can prove to start up a certain size dairy, a minimum of 330 cows, that would employ approximately 10 people on and off farm. And with that, the state of Iowa, as well as the state of South Dakota, have a program approved that and the federal government will assist us in applying or giving us a green card.
And was there a capital requirement or be able to demonstrate by whatever means you had to set up that kind of an operation?
Yes, that's also very different than we were used to when I immigrated to Canada. We basically had to have the money sitting in a trust account here, so the operation in Canada needed to be sold before we could even apply on our EB-5 permit. As well, all plans had to be ready. We needed to have land pretty much purchased, as well as building contracts needed to be signed.
Well, that's a full business plan, not just a plan, but to actually have a lot of it already begun with the implementation of it, which meant you had a significant amount of capital on the line before you actually had a yes from the federal government on coming into the United States legally.
Yeah, and the downside of that is not that it's only tied up, but basically our operation needed to be sold before we had our final yes, and really there was no way back at that time.
You're listening to Conversations with Congressman King, and we're here with Wietse Albers, a Dutch-Canadian dairy farmer who has come into the United States and settled around Primgar, and an operation that you set up now, a fresh new operation. And the difficulties, again, of getting through this, you had more or less you were out on the end of a limb, and you had to saw that branch off and trust that you would catch a branch on the United States tree on the way back now, and the way it sounds to me, Wietse.
Yes, that was something we had fully trusted would work at the end, but it was, halfway in the process, you kind of think, have we done the right thing or not?
Are you far enough into this now that you have willing to give a final response to whether that was the right thing?
Well, we think we did the right thing at this time, but, can you advise it to everybody? I think it takes a special person to do what we have done, and I think I would do it again a second time, but it wouldn't be for everybody to follow my footsteps.
I think that's a wise answer, and saying that you would do it again, it's right for you, and that's what I hoped I would hear. You'll still speak some Dutch, I trust. Do you, Wietse?
Yes, I do.
And did you find some other folks around the neighborhood that can chat along with you in your native tongue?
Just one.
Oh, really? I'm sure there are others out there, it'd be my guess. But you have not had the opportunity to go up to the Tulip Festival in Orange City yet?
Yes, we've been there, too.
They teach me a little Dutch up there every year, Wietse, and I forget it, and they refresh me again the following year. But I at least get my klompens on and inspect the streets and really enjoy the atmosphere around there.
Yes, it's a very friendly area. We do feel at home, and we're also very encouraged with how the next generation, or maybe second and third generation, is still keeping up their Dutch inheritance. And they may speak Dutch with quite a heavy accent, but it's very encouraging to see all the little ones on the street and just being excited about being part of a Dutch family.
Well, and what I like to see, and I look around the entire area, the multiple counties that join the Sioux County area there with O'Brien and Lyon and the other counties that are part of it, I see young people that make their commitment to build their future there. And one of the things that has impressed me is standing there at the Tulip Festival when the Tulip Festival Queen and her court, high school seniors, young ladies, announce where they're going to college. And I've stood there and listened to five of them say, Northwestern, 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 each one of them. But the point is, they are committed to their higher education most times, the same town that they grew up in, and they believe in building their families there because they know there's a future for the succeeding generations. We'd say, if I read you right, that was the biggest reason. If you'd put all the reasons together, that is the reason that you and Belinda brought your family down to Primgar.
That is correct. The reason for moving here was moving our business, but by the same token, we moved our family. And I think anybody that doesn't move like we've done has to stay focused on that. And that's the primary reason why we work in life, is to provide an income for our family, and we cannot lose focus on that.
And as these snags came in the way with your visa, and they handed me a stack of letters here that reference you and your case. I don't have all the letters here. I have about five or six of them. It's kind of hard to move the bureaucracy from what I've seen.
Yes, it's been very hard. And your office has been very helpful in expediting this process. When it really came down to what the speed of the process wasn't high enough, our lawyer wasn't be able to move things along when it was really in need for it, and then your office has written a number of letters toward the immigration office to encourage them to speed up when our interview would be, and that did make a difference at the end.
So one of the rewarding parts of my job is to be able to welcome you as a new American, and I wish you all kinds of prosperity, and I wish you a healthy environment for your family, and we're going to keep those tax deductions coming your way if you want to keep expanding that family, because we need lots of good people in Northwest Iowa. Thanks for joining us today on Conversation with Congressman King.
Please join us next time on Conversations with Congressman King. For more information on any of the topics mentioned today, visit the website at house.gov/Steve King.